The first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." And the second reading this morning is from Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But then, just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Here ends the readings.
Our Advent readings have certainly built up hopes of and expectations as we've heard the prophets with promises about war turning into peace, about gentleness, not violence, becoming the norm, even in nature itself. And all of us coming at last to the God of healing, of wholeness, and reconciliation. We've been looking forward in this Advent season in anticipation. And today's gospel reading brings us to the long-awaited moment of God's new thing, of God's dramatic action, this new act in the drama of salvation. We hear the story of Jesus' birth in the Gospel of Luke from Mary's perspective. But in Matthew, we get Joseph's point of view. And things get interesting very quickly in this short story. Matthew's economy of words doesn't provide a lot of detail. But Matthew does try to help us understand what's going on in Joseph's mind during these extraordinary events. There are several different ways to look at this text, but the way that that I look at and seems to make the most understanding to me, and what I connect with, is to understand Joseph as a man who wants to be faithful and observant to the law, but also answers to an inner sense of compassion and mercy, what we might call the Spirit, when he chooses not to humiliate Mary with some kind of public disclaimer. They're betrothed, not yet fully married, and she's pregnant. By law and practice, he could publicly disclaim her, and she would be an outcast. But he chooses not to do that. The early Christians of Matthew's community struggled with this question. And in some sense, we continue to struggle with the question about how we obey the heart of the law while being faithful to the imperative to love one another. For those early Jewish Christians, the word righteous didn't mean hypocritical or judgmental. It meant faithful and good. And surely from this brief text and description, that would be a description of Matthew. Faithful and good. He strives to obey the law, but not strictly. Mary is very vulnerable in this story. Very vulnerable. But that's not unique. Many women in every time and place are vulnerable, as well as the poor and the sick. Children. And there are many folk still today who are in that kind of vulnerability. And there are many people, sadly, who experience righteousness not as mercy and compassion, but understand and experience righteousness as a harsh judgment. If Joseph provides us an example of faithfulness tempered with compassion and mercy, how might we relearn the meaning of righteousness as followers of Jesus in our time? As we think about that question, maybe as we wrestle with that question, what this text at its heart proclaims is that we are not on our own. The Spirit of God remains with us always. That's what this story is teaching about the presence of God with us. It's right there in the name, the other name of this baby, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. Matthew's spare story isn't concerned about a nativity story, a pretty scene for our Christmas decorations. Matthew is concerned about establishing who this Jesus is. And just what's going on in this remarkable turn of events. This young virgin being pregnant. That God is with us. And that God is doing an important new thing. We're going to be reading from Matthew during this church year. The gospel lections for most of the Sundays come from Matthew this year. And as we read Matthew, we will watch and listen as Jesus reveals the hand of God at work in the world, undoing the damage that has been done by human sin. So this extraordinary birth is the beginning of the fulfillment of God's saving purposes. In the introduction of one of the lectionary study guides that I look at, Charles Cusser says, quote, "The fresh new act of God ushers in an age long expected and hoped for, yet in a fashion so unusual that it can hardly be anticipated." Close quotes. Those promises of things we can scarcely imagine. Healing. Reconciliation, salvation, the dream of peace so poetically described by the prophet Isaiah will become a reality. The name Emmanuel is more than a nice name for a sweet baby. As I said, you might say that it frames the whole Gospel of Matthew. It tells the story of what God is about here. And for the early Jewish Christians, it was especially clear that this gift of Jesus was meant to fulfill the longing of their ancestors for all people, not just their own, to recognize God as their Lord also. In the very next chapter, we have the Magi coming to the birth, symbolizing that this good news is for all people, that God is with us. In Jesus, they and we encounter God and experience God's saving grace, God's tender mercies, God's healing love. As we continue to read the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus teaching us about God's expectations for us. Just a couple chapters later, in the fifth chapter, we get to that beautiful section that we know as the Beatitudes. But we find them hard to live up to, as are many, if not most, of Jesus' teachings. But we're not left to just our own devices. We don't have to do this alone. God is with us and showers us with grace and love. Frequently we're fearful or feel that we can never measure up to the demands of the gospel. And we might ponder with Joseph the meaning of the name that he's supposed to name this baby, Jesus. He will save us. He will save us. And as we ponder with Joseph, we remember that it's God who's acting here, not us. We're not left to our own devices. And we're not left alone. There's one who is always with us. The one they call Emmanuel. As I said, that sense frames the entire Gospel of Matthew. Here in the first chapter, the baby is named God with us. And at the very end of the gospel, after this child grows into a compassionate man, and after his resurrection, he promises that he will be with us to the end of the age. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the good news that we celebrate at Christmas. That we're not alone. That God's grace, God's love, God's mercy is always with us. The joy of Emmanuel. Thanks be to God. Amen. I would invite the ushers to move among us this morning, that we might receive our gifts and our tithes and our offerings, remembering as we prepare to do so the great gift that we're preparing to celebrate, Emmanuel, God with us.